We're taking a look at today's Parshat Ekev. This week is Parshat Ekev. And Parshat Ekev, just to give a little bit of a context, is really the second half of a piece, which is the introduction to the main body of Sefer Dvarim. The main body of Sefer Dvarim is something we refer to as Ne'um HaMitzvot, the mitzvah speech of Moshe Rabbeinu. The mitzvah speech of Moshe Rabbeinu has an important introduction, which is a retelling of the story of Matan Torah and the conclusions from Matan Torah, and a repetition with all of the nuances of Aseret HaDibrot. We've talked about that in the past, which then opens up into a presentation of either many of the mitzvot that were already presented earlier, but with a new nuance, or else new mitzvot, is the famous Ramban's introduction, mitzvot mechudashot, mitzvot mitparot. And so Vayetchanan and Ekev have this piece to it, which is introductory in nature and talks about a relationship with God. But I really want to start from the end of Dvarim. And what I'll share with you today is kind of inspired by a shiur that I had the opportunity here at the Meyun, given by Rav Baruch Gigi Shlita, one of the Rosh Yeshiva. And the first part is really basically here. I'll share it with you. If you take a look at the first source, and you see that it's divided into two columns, it's the first 10 psukim in Sefer, in Perek Lamed of Dvarim. And it's commonly known as Parshat HaTshuva. That's from Nitzavim. On the very top in the two columns. All right, and you'll see the reason I put two columns. It's 10 psukim, but you'll notice that something weird happens in Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Chet, sorry. So when all of these things happen, because this is after the long tochacha in Kitavom, you will then think about it among the nations that God has dispersed you to. You will return to Hashem, ad Hashem, all the way to Hashem. You will listen to his voice. And again, that's a phrase we're familiar with throughout Sefer Dvarim. God will then restore your fortunes and he will have compassion on you. And he will then bring you back and gather you from all the nations that he spread you to. If you're at the very end of the earth, he'll bring you back from there. And then, he'll bring you back to the land and you will re-inherit it. And he will actually make you greater than your ancestors in numbers. So you're b'cham yavotecha. God will circumcise your heart. This is a phrase that then becomes prominent in Sefer Yirmiyahu, and of course plays a big role in our slichot, etc. So that you will love Hashem and with everything you have. And then all of these terrible things God will put on your enemies instead. Okay, that should be the end of it. You are exiled because you're bad. You're going to think about it. You're going to do tshuva. You're going to return to Hashem. Hashem will return you back, and then all the curses will be turned inside out. Should be the end of it. It's not the end of it. In the middle of the same parsha, v'yata tashuv, and you will return. Now, didn't we already return?
Was or will?
Should. You will. It will, but in this scenario, you've already returned. So what's this return? V'shamata b'kol Adonai, you'll listen to God's voice. We thought that already happened. V'asit et kol mitzvotav v'shonachim et tzav chayom, you'll do all the mitzvot that I tell you. And then v'otichah Adonai v'achah b'chol ma'asei adachah b'ifin nechav v'im v'amtachah v'fri amatachah l'tovam yashub Adonai asus adachah k'tov k'asher sasa l'votachah. God will then increase all of your bounty, because God will then have rejoice over you to do good, just like he was for your ancestors. Because you will listen to Hashem and follow his mitzvot. So what is this second half doing? That's the question of Gigi asked. Like, why are there two tshuvot going on here?
Yeah. Who asked this?
Of Gigi, who gave the shiur. Right. So
even
why are the two tshuvot? What?
Even Pasuk Yud and Pasuk Chet are the same thing.
Well, no. Pasuk Yud is giving the reason, meaning why is God going to do this? Because you will return. That's returning, referring to the return. But this whole section of Chet through Yod seems to be not exactly a repetition, but superfluous, because it's presenting a future scenario where we've returned to Hashem, and then, oops, we returned to Hashem. Well, what happened in the meantime? Where's the zig there that we're zagging? So it's a very interesting thing. If you take a look, and it's something that staggers the mind to us because we have the whole picture. We have all Chamisha Chumshei Torah. And the reality is that Sefer Dvarim is far closer to us than any other Sefer. I want you to think about what parts of the Torah you say every day.
Shema.
Vayayim Shamoa. Sefer Dvarim. Psukim like Atahareta Ladat, Vyadata Yomashivota Vabacha, Bezota Torah Shasam Moshe. These are all Sefer Dvarim Psukim. So it's a little bit odd to look back, but think about what was the Torah without Sefer Dvarim, and what was the Torah before Moshe got up to say his speech?
The stories.
No, it's a lot more than that.
I mean, the stories and the halach, I guess.
Right. Right. So if you take a look through, and I gave just a few smattering examples, we'd have to have the whole Tanakh Chumash in front of us to really see it. But I'm going to do this outside of the text. But if you think about it, when we got to Har Sinai, what did Hashem say? Hashem said, do you want to keep the Brit? And what was the Brit? To listen to all the mitzvot. You take a look at the end of the Mamad Har Sinai. In source 3, it says, I'm going to send a malach, do not rebel against him, listen to his voice, worship Hashem, means do the mitzvot, and everything will be good for you. That's it. You take a look at the famous brit that happens at the end of Mamad Har Sinai in B'chukotai. What is it about? It's about observing the mitzvot. And if you don't observe the mitzvot, then things will go very badly for you. Now, it's an interesting thing that happens if you read through the Tochacha in Vayikra. If you do not do the mitzvot and things go bad for you, what happens? There's going to be a famine. The enemies are going to come in. Ultimately, you're going to leave the land. But you're not going to leave the land as the punishment, qua punishment. Leave the land because things are just so terrible.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
But we say in Shema, because I just learned this Sunday, we say Ba'avadatem Mehera.
No, I didn't get to Dvarim yet.
Okay.
I didn't get to Dvarim yet. Right. So when you look through the Chumash up until the end of Amidbar, you say, what does it mean to be a proper Jew? What would the answer be?
Keep the Torah.
Do exactly what God says. Right? Sorry to say it, but robotically. There's not one mention anywhere of feeling, of attitude, of love for God, of fear for God, or attempt to cleave to God. None of that shows up in... And it's strange to us, because to us, that's the picture. And yet, if you think about it, none of it's there. But an interesting thing is that leaving the land in the scenarios that are described, especially at the end of Vayikra, as a curse, is not really exile as exile. It's exile as the last step in things falling apart. And even then, the land is kind of staying there waiting for you. And take a look at the bottom on source 5. Meaning, you violated the sanctity of the land by not keeping Shemitah, so now you're going to go out and let the land rest. Nobody else will be successful there. You know, Ayin Mark Twain. Nobody else will be successful there. Let the land rest. It'll recover. And then God will bring you back to the land because you messed that up. But it's not an issue so much that you have to leave the land because you're not welcome here. As much as you didn't keep the mitzvot, and specifically the mitzvot related to the land, so the land has to get a break from you. That seems to be the sense. Now you turn the page.
It's not that you don't deserve it. You have a special Yerusha, like your parents give you an inheritance, and you're not worthy of it. So they didn't keep their side of the bargain. They lost that inheritance.
Right, you would think so. Except the interesting thing is that exile is never presented in Vayikra or Shemot, Vayikra, as being the actual punishment. And it's not saying, if you do this bad, you're going to be sent out of the land. Look at Vayikra, you'll see, it's things will dissemble, the sky will stop raining, the earth will stop giving forth, you're going to have your enemies come in and they're going to surround you and everything else. And kind of the play in that seems to end up with you're going to be in another land, but not so much that I'm sending you out because you don't deserve to be here. And a piece of that puzzle is, that the land needs to have a break from all the work because it didn't have Shemitot. I turn the page and look at Sefer Dvarim.
You can kind of understand it because you're not in the land yet in the conversation.
None of this happened. All of this doesn't happen when you're in the land. It's all before the land. Correct.
But I'm saying, but even the conversations in Vayikra are not about what's happening when you're in the land.
Agreed.
Right.
There's nothing unreasonable what I'm saying.
Right.
I'm just describing what Shmot through Bamidbar, really Shmot and Vayikra,
right.
speak of when they speak about a brit and they speak about mitzvot. All right, now here's where things really change. Take a look at Dvarim, and you have here seven selections, and again, brief. But you take a look at, in our parsha, what does Moshe turn around and say? V'ata Yisrael, shema l'chukim v'al mishpatim, this is last week, sorry. Asher l'chim l'amed etchem la'asot. Listen to the mitzvot. Now listen to what Moshe says. L'man tichyu v'atem v'yishtem et ha'aretz ha'shorah, adonai v'avotechem noten l'chem. Lo tosifu al adavar. Don't add to the mitzvot. Don't take away. You see what happened to the people of Baal Peor. On the other hand, v'atem hadvekim b'adonai v'echem chayim kolchem hayom. You who cleave to God. That's a new idea. Doesn't exist before. You who cleave to God, you're filled with life. In other words, there's something about attaching yourself to God that is that creates life or sustains life or guarantees life. Right? It becomes much bigger as you move ahead. Is when Moshe describes the people's reaction to Matan Torah. The people's reaction is, we're afraid of God. Moshe then comes and says to them, God has come to you this way so that his fear should be with you at all times. In other words, Matan Torah is presented in Dvarim, not only as an act of giving the law, but as a religious experience to set a mindset for us forever of how we should relate to God. We should be aware that there was no image. We should be aware that we didn't see anything at Har Sinai, and that God appeared that way, so we would always have Yirat Hashem with us. That's a critical thing. Then, take a look at the passage just before Shema. V'zot ha-mitzvah, passage 8. Ha-chukim v'mishpatim ha-shetivah Adonai v'chem l'amed etchem la'asot ba'aretz asher atem ba'ovrim shem l'vishta l'man tirah. Do these mitzvot so you fear at Adonai Levecha, lishmor kochu kodom mitzvotav, shachatzavecha, atom lecha ben benecha, vechayecha, leman yerichun yamecha. Veshamarta Yisrael, veshamarta lasot, asher yitav lecha, asher timun miyot. These are good for you. So there's another component here, which is the benefit that these things bring to you. And then Shema Yisrael. And what's Shema Yisrael all about? V'yahavta. Loving Hashem, and you love Hashem. How do you love Hashem? You surround yourself with His words. So suddenly there's a whole new piece coming up. And think about it. We have the famous Arba Banim. The fourth son shows up at the end of Vayet Hanan just about.
But wait, you don't have the land in that.
No, just we'll get there. Now the kid asks you, what are the laws? What should you answer him? What do we tell him in the Haggadah? The kid says, what are the laws? What do we tell him?
Slave.
Tell him the laws. What does it say here? It says, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. And He gave us these laws so that we would have a good life. And utztakati alanu. In other words, there's a story around the mitzvot. There's a relationship around the mitzvot. And then, when you get to the very end of Etchanan, again, it's Etchanan and Ekev together, the very end of Etchanan, look at this statement that does not appear anything like it beforehand. Kim kotasu, source 10. What are you supposed to do when you come to the land? Destroy all the Avodah Zarah. You don't even have that phrase. That's not the same as Kedoshim to you. Am Kadosh Ata, you're a holy nation unto God. God shows you. He loves you. You're His favorite. Lo mirabchem, and it's not because you're the most, you're the smallest, but rather because God loves your ancestors, and God loves you, and God wants it. All this God loves does not appear until Dvarim. And suddenly, it's all over the place. Right? And take a look, perhaps the capper is. The last source. V'ata Yisrael, ma Adonai d'recha shoel meimach. What does God ask from you? Ki'im li'irata Adonai d'recha. What does He ask? Fear God. Alecha b'chol d'rechav, follow in His ways. Uliyahava oto. Again, is a classic Dvarim phrase. Doesn't show up anywhere else. Because what's Moshe telling us the demand is?
Put your heart and soul into it.
You have to feel it. You have to be connected. It's not just about robotically doing things. It's about feeling and connection. And again, the emphasis that it's for your good, for your benefit. Right? Later on in Akev, as you see at the beginning of the parsha. Earlier on in Akev, actually, take a look in source 11. It's actually a good example. Kol mitzvah shonachim etzavcha yom tishmurun lasot laman teichun or vitem. Here we go, Jason, what you asked. Uvatem virishtem et haaretz. Do all these mitzvot so that you will be able to come and conquer the land. That God promised to your ancestors. And again, the promise to the ancestors is also born of several things. It's born of God's love for your ancestors, God's continuing the tradition through you, your connection to your ancestors. It's so much more than just obeisance. It's about feeling. Now watch this description. It's gorgeous. Remember the way that God walked you. See that holich? What's the holich mean? Like taking a little kid and walking them. Leman anotcha. What did he do? He wanted to afflict you. Lenasotcha, to raise you up. Ladat et hashem avavcha. Now, what is ladat hashem avavcha? What does that mean?
To know what's in your heart.
But God doesn't know what's in your heart? I think he's saying, so you should know what's in your heart, which is atishmo mitzvotav imlo. You know that you're going to keep the mitzvot. God wants to show you that. You know how a parent challenges a child.
Is that the mal thing, subscribing your heart?
Very likely. So when you know how a parent challenges a child to show the child you can do much better, right? What did God do? He afflicted you. He starved you. Then he gave you man. It's brand new. Leman hodiacha. Why? God is being described here as a strong disciplinary father who loves his child and puts his child through the rigors in order to teach his child a lesson. The child has to learn that everything of food comes from God. So I'm going to starve you, I'm going to take you through the desert, I'm going to give you mine, and you'll learn that lesson. Right? And now, simlatcha lo vatam mi'alacha v'aglacha lo vatzeik azar b'im shana. I took care of you for 40 years. V'yadata im levavecha. You should know. Kasher yaser isha b'no Adonai levacha mi'asrecha. Just like a man afflicts his son, God is afflicting you. It's all about discipline. It's all about raising you right. And again, fearing and loving. Right.
But it doesn't talk about the exile.
What?
But this one doesn't talk about the
exile. Correct. So if you look into, and again, there wasn't much room on the page, and I went small print as it was. If you look into the laning that we have on Ve'et Hanan on Tisha B'Av, Ki tolid banu v'nei banim, v'noshantem ba'aretz v'ishchatem v'asitem ha'rab b'nei Adonai l'acha la'avor b'rito. And you do Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah from the perspective of Sefer Dvarim is a very different thing than Avodah Zarah from the perspective of Bamidbar Tedvav. Avodah Zarah in Bamidbar Tedvav is about seeking out another god. Avodah Zarah in Dvarim is about being disloyal to your spouse. It's about whoring after others. And so what happens there? You get exiled. But Sarlachal and Sa'ucha, call it Dvarim Ha'ela, and you'll be among the nations.
Right. I still have a question.
So now, when it's about the robot, sorry for saying it, but it's the robotic fulfillment of mitzvot, then the land is not the player. There's the, what's the real player there? Sustenance, bounty, and military success. That's what plays throughout. You'll have lots, nobody will miscarry. You will be successful with your enemies, fine. But when it comes down to your attitude, then it becomes about the land. You don't belong here. You don't belong here. And so what happens in Sefer Devarim? Mm-hmm. Suddenly, exile from the land becomes actually its own punishment, as you see in Ki Tavo. So now, take a look at the top of page 1, you'll see. In the first half of the Parshat HaTshuvah, Moshe says, all these things will happen to you. You're going to think about it when you're in the nation. What are you going to do? V'shavta ad Adonai Elohecha. What does that mean? You'll return back to God. It's about the love. It's about the relationship. And what will God do when you show that you want to be close to God? God's going to bring you back to the land. He'll bring you back to the land. And then what's he going to do? He's going to circumcise your heart so you'll always love him. In other words, you want to make that move, he'll help you make that move. What happens after that? What's the second step? On the left hand. Then you'll listen to God's voice. Now, there's a question the Mishnah asks. We have three parashot of Shema, and we say them not in order, meaning not in the order they appear in the Torah, because tzitzit shows up before the first two, right? Why do we say them in the order we do? So the Mishnah says the following. We say Shema first because, what's Shema about? What's the theme of Shema? Relationship to God. We call it Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim, to accept the burden, the yoke of God's kingdom. Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim. What's Vayam Shemo about? It's about mitzvot. So we say Shema first, Kadesh Shekabel Olav Ol Malchut Shemayim Tchila, V'chakach Kabel Olav Ol Mitzvot. If you think about it, it makes sense. The Ramban quotes of him a Midrash in explaining the order of the Aseret HaDibrot. Why is Anochi Hashem Elokecha at the beginning? He says it's very simple. A king wants to give people laws. And they say, well, before we... The people say, they come to the king, give us laws. And the king says, before I give you laws, you've got to accept me as your king. You've got a relationship before it can happen. Which means, in a sense, Sefer Devarim has to come first. And Sefer Devarim does come first for us. We grow up on Sefer Devarim. We're nurtured on Sefer Devarim. And on the thinking of B'chol Avavcha V'chol Nafshecha. That's how we're raised. And that ultimately leads to this. So therefore, what happens? The first tshuva that we do is the tshuva of connection, of relationship. And once that happens, then we move to the second tshuva, which is the tshuva of mitzvot, of practice. By the way, it's an interesting thing, and I'm, as you know, loath to comment on current events and associate them with things in Tanakh. I'm very concerned about how people do that freely and make calls to it. But it is an interesting thing that we were drawn in so many different ways. We were drawn back to the land. That was the first thing. We were drawn back to the land and to the language and to a certain amount of what we perceived as being our ancient culture. And now what are you seeing happening in Israel? It's a phenomenal thing. 40 years ago, even 30 years ago, you could still see places, lo aleinu, that would have a big barbecue on Yom Kippur night. Badafka, right? That's gone. That is gone. Do you know that Shomer Tzair Kibbutzim now regularly have Shiurei Torah of people who come and teach? And now what do you see among the Amcha, the non-observant people? They're all trying to find some spirituality, and many of them are finding them in quasi-Jewish ways, right? Neo-Hasidic, etc. Suddenly, what's happening is the relationship, the connection to God is happening. The next thing that has to happen, of course, is the mitzvot, and that's, you know,
what's the
step
third
two.
Paragraph?
What?
What's the third paragraph of Shema, then, along the sequence?
Well, the way that the Mishnah says it is because the mitzvah of tzitzit applies only during the day, as opposed to Talmud Torah, which applies during the night also, right? The other way is to say it is that the second paragraph is Lomod Vilasot, and the last one is just Lasot.
I do have a question still.
Yeah.
Question.